Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The tents at the intersection of Massachusetts Avenue and Melnea Cass Boulevard that made up the encampment there are gone. City officials say there's more work to do now. How do we support the people who have been forced out of the area, moved out of the area? With us now to talk more about that, Dr. Bisola Ojikutu, Commissioner of Public Health and Executive Director of the Boston Public Health Commission. Dr. Ojikutu, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So some numbers from last week. 102 people and three dogs moved to general shelter, low threshold shelter, youth shelter, or reunified with families. More than a dozen tents and encampments dismantled, roughly 2 tons of debris and material collected and removed. Are you satisfied with the response?
We are incredibly encouraged by the efforts that occurred last week and that will continue to occur. We've relocated a number of people from Atkinson Street into shelters and also made some alternative placements, as you mentioned. I think what's important here, though, is that we remain vigilant and understand that we haven't cured substance use disorder. Instead, we've removed an encampment, and an encampment that was very dangerous. So many of the people who we were able to relocate went to low threshold spaces, and these spaces are adapted for people who are actively using substances and include both treatment and housing navigation, which is critically important. We're also engaging in mobile outreach to make sure that those people who have been displaced have access to shelter, they have access to harm reduction, treatment, as well as overdose prevention, which is incredibly important.
So I'm just going to interrupt you for a second there, just for listeners who don't know these terms as well as you. For example, what does it mean for someone to go to low threshold shelter, doctor?
It's an important question and important distinction from other shelters. So low threshold spaces are places where you don't have to be sober to enter. You essentially can continue to use. We realize that people have a chronic medical issue, substance use disorder, and we allow folks to stay in those spaces while offering them treatment, housing navigation, and other critical services as they sort of move along their journey.
And how long might one be in a low threshold shelter before entering treatment and moving into some other kind of longer term shelter or living space?
Well, it really does depend. I mean, it depends for per individual. Some people are in there for a few months and some people are in there much longer. We know that from the work that we did starting in January of 2022 that we do have individuals who stay for a prolonged period of time until they are ready to move on, until they are ready to sort of take next steps. It's critical that, you know, we have case management that sort of individualizes the approach to people's experience and that we offer and repeatedly offer options to people because it is a chronic relapsing disorder.
We're speaking with Dr. Bisola Ojikutu, who's the head of the Boston Public Health Commission. At the beginning of our conversation, you used a word. You said we have to stay vigilant. You know, there were a number of days really where this process happened at the area around Melnea Cass Boulevard and Massachusetts Avenue last week. Over the next 30 days, starting from November 1st, there will be a command center set up in the area, mobile units around the city. So what does it mean to be vigilant? Who's being vigilant? Vigilant for what? What does that look like on the ground?
Well, so this was a coordinated response that included numerous teams of people. So numerous folks, including City Hall, the Mayor's Office of Housing, the Boston Police Department, Fire, Department of Public Works, and of course, the Boston Public Health Commission, including EMS. And essentially, we work very closely with partners. You know, we have a number of partners who work in the area of substance use disorder, including Elliott Community Services. We work very closely with the New Market Bid and Boston Healthcare for the Homeless, as well as Victory Programs and other city partners. So it's really been all of us. It's really been an all hands on deck sort of effort. So all of us are working together to implement planning going forward to ensure that not only are there not tents and they're, you know, we don't end up having another encampment, but that we're going to continue to meet the needs of people who are truly vulnerable and who are suffering and need support.
So the needs of people who are truly vulnerable, who are suffering and need support. Boston Public Health Commission has data from 2022 showing that the city is essentially outstripping the state, and the state already had alarming increases in numbers of overdoses. The city is on track to be experiencing even worse numbers, and people of color in the city of Boston and in specific neighborhoods, especially Dorchester, for example, Roxbury, really being hit hard by this opioid and addiction crisis. Put that in the context of what you've been doing in the area around Mass and Cass, and this larger picture, Doctor.
So the area in Mass and Cass, that was the epicenter of what was occurring. But I think there was always awareness that this is not a crisis that's affecting one part of the city. This is truly citywide. And there are people suffering in many different neighborhoods. So we know from the state report that was released in June that Boston experienced a 36% increase in opioid-related deaths. And we know that, you know, in 2022, 352 people died from opioid overdoses. And we know that there's this disparity, this enormous disparity amongst Black and Latinx individuals versus other Bostonians. But the key with this report is what we're trying to delve more deeply into is really the whys, what's really going on, and what's really going on outside of not just Mass and Cass, but across our city. So first, the substance use crisis, it's not just about opioids. Overdoses and overdose mortality are often related to more than one drug ingested either knowingly or unknowingly. And we know that over the course of the last decade, overdose mortality associated with a combination of fentanyl, which we know is a highly potent synthetic opioid, along with cocaine, increased almost 200% in the city. So we have to have increased awareness, and we have to get the interventions out there across the city. Again, not just in one place, but across the city. Secondly, what this report highlights is that we've had enormous challenges regarding treatment access. So even if people want treatment, treatment hasn't always been readily available. Now, if you look at our data, obviously we've been, for the last 3 years, been going through, you know, the COVID pandemic, and certainly decreased access to services in general. But what's happened is that admissions to treatment decreased significantly from 2019 to 2021, even though at the same time we had this increase in substance use related overdoses and certainly overdose deaths.
Why?
You mean why has there been the decrease in treatment access?
Yeah.
Well, the COVID pandemic led to disruptions in access to a wide array of services, harm reduction, treatment, recovery services, general health care. We have people who've been deferred from health care because of the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're really just now recouping that loss. So our goal going forward is to make sure that treatment, equitable access to treatment, is available to all people across the city if that is what they want. And I think that is part of that really is our major objective going forward.
You know, the other thing that I wondered about in the report, it acknowledges the percentage of fentanyl, which is, as you referred to, highly deadly, being above 90% in the drug supply. Also the presence of xylazine, a veterinary tranquilizer. Over the weekend, some reporting on National Public Radio, the head of one of the national federal departments said that the combination of those two had led to, in the last few years, a 300% increase in deaths. What about the piece that is what's in the supply of drugs? I understand the complexities of looking at supply side versus demand side, and I understand the public health commitment of this administration. But what about the complexities of the toxicity of what is in the drug supply, you know, from a public health standpoint? What's the responsibility there?
It's incredibly destructive, what's going on right now. So we talked about fentanyl being present in 92% of all opioid overdose-related deaths and about 81% of overall drug overdose deaths. So it's there. It's very toxic. Xylazine is incredibly toxic, and we're certainly seeing more of that on the street. It is our responsibility to ensure that people are aware. So people who are using or active users, we have to continue to engage them. We have to increase awareness, and we have to make drug checking just a part of our harm reduction toolbox. So it's not just about exchanging needles, exchanging syringes. It's about drug checking. It is about making sure that people have access to naloxone. It is about making sure that people have access to HIV testing, to hepatitis C testing, to all of the broad array of things that we call harm reduction. That is what our goal is going forward as a Boston Public Health Commission, as a public health department for our city.
Last question for you, Dr. Ojikutu. It's a regional issue. You are in the city of Boston. We've heard consistently that part of the challenge in the area around Mass and Cass was it wasn't just Boston residents. Are you able to coordinate with your colleagues in other cities and towns?
Absolutely. Absolutely. When I said all hands are on deck, those hands are not just hands here in Boston. We're meeting regularly with departments of public health in neighboring cities. I talk to folks regularly. We're thinking about strategies to work together. We're talking about this issue of low threshold housing and where can we establish low threshold housing other places across the state, within the region. And certainly we meet regularly with the state. So this is not just a Boston issue, as you mentioned. We are really talking about one that doesn't have borders, and we need to work together as we try to address these needs.
Dr. Bisola Ojikutu is Commissioner of Public Health and Executive Director of the Boston Public Health Commission. Doctor, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
WBUR senior correspondent Deb Becker has been covering for quite a while now the unfolding situation in the area around Massachusetts Avenue and Melnia Cass Boulevard. Heard that conversation. Joins us now. Deb, welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Deb, what were you listening for and what are your reactions based on what you heard?
Well, I think that, as Dr. Ojikutu explained, this is a complex issue. And I think it was very positive to hear her talking about some of those complexities and some of the things the city will be doing moving forward, such as looking at treatment access, looking at harm reduction strategies, such as testing drugs, because the drug supply is so deadly right now, and really focusing on case management for the people who have moved from Mass and Cass to make sure that it's not just putting someone in a place to sleep, but it's also making sure that they can get an array of services that might be needed for them to move on from this and eventually get into permanent housing. So I think all of those things are very good, good strategies, but they're tough, tough issues. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they're addressed going forward and if, in fact, there are the resources to implement some of those things going forward.
Deb, I know you heard me key in on her use of we need to be vigilant. One of the concerns was this a removal of tents and tarps or a pushing of them to other parts of the city? What do we know about the answer to that question now that we're a few days out from the initial clearing of that particular area?
Right. Well, right now, we don't have any reports that there have been groups of tents set up anywhere else. There have been some reports of people referred to shelter from other areas of the city, but we, at this point, don't have any reports of people grouping together and trying to create a new encampment. But people will watch and see because, as you mentioned, Tiziana, the tents have been cleared before. And I think the most recent time in January of 2022, which Dr. Ojikutu mentioned, 4 months later, there were more than 100 people living in the same area under tarps. So they weren't called tents, but it was still an encampment in the same area.
So, Deb Becker, you talked about the question about funding, right? Part of what the doctor talked about is, listen, we've got to scale back up after loss of treatment capacity during COVID. That's not just a city issue. That's a statewide issue as well. And we have seen shortages of all kinds of healthcare supplies and funding. What are you watching for on that front? Anything in particular?
Well, I think the opioid settlement monies, the monies coming into the state from opioid lawsuits, the suits against manufacturers and distributors of opioids, they're multi-million dollar settlements. And that money is coming into the state as we speak. Communities are getting some of it. How will they spend it? How will they use it for treatment? I think that'll be key to see how that might help address this situation.
And Deb, correct me if I'm wrong, but actually current Massachusetts Governor Maura Healey had something to do with some of those settlements when she was the state's attorney general.
She did. She was among those who filed suit against the Sackler family, the owners of Purdue Pharma, the makers of OxyContin. So, yes, she was instrumental in some of that litigation. And there is currently an opioid settlement task force set up that reviews the monies and the process by which the funds will be distributed.
WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker, always great to have you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.